Refuge 19 has made great progress recently because her Mandarin Chinese is understandable now, and in the past it wasn't so. So her Chinese today is better than mine. And she talked about my sister Chang, to my brother Chang, in preparation of good meals, so that made me feel hungry now. Actually, we are also very grateful for their help, the Siapo Lichang Temple. Time flies. When we were in school, we said that time flows just and never to return. Several months ago, every disciple was preparing to come back to Seattle Temple to receive the empowerment blessings and transmissions of the Hevajrabai, the Limited Guru. But at the moment, it has passed. Look, from ceremony till now, and then the Mid-Autumn Festival now has passed too. So some people say that tomorrow will be better, but tomorrow will be older. Actually, we all like to hear the precious teaching of our lineage guru. But it's my turn to lead the group practice. As a master, I have to say a few words, so I'm not quite prepared. But this evening, I would like to talk about this moment and impermanence. These few days, watching the news, there was a great typhoon in Taiwan that caused great flood. And there was the bridge in Taichung area that was broken because of the power or the force of the flood. And there were people who died from this accident, and some people are still missing. And the news reported that this bridge was one of the great 10 bridges. And it was broken because of the force of the wind and the flood. What did she say? So the bridge fell off. And in the Taiwanese year 78, it was listed as one of the 10 biggest bridges in Taiwan. And in 97, it was also listed as one of the best 10. But this year, but it turned out that the bridge disappeared and some people died from it. So in reading this, I feel very shocked. So with my master Lian Si, Lian Zhu, and Lian Yin, at the chapter conducted Golden Mother Border Deliverance Ceremony, and not not unfamiliar with this accident of this bridge, but I felt it's a pity that such a bridge and with so much money planned for fixing it, but why didn't they fix it soon enough? So that's why let me think about the moment. That just take actions immediately to solve, then perhaps there would not be such a sad disaster. So my heart was cold, and this moment, taking the sense of the moment, is it very difficult? Like Grand Master have said in his teachings, that every day you do the best in whatever little work you have to do, that's the same as doing great work, is what Reverend Nanjing has said. So doing what we are supposed to, it's cultivation. Whatever work you do is cultivation. It sounds simple, but it's easier said than done. A lot of people cannot carry it on. Before I heard the story that there was an entrepreneur about his view about life and death. Had sick really bad and going disastrous. Was and said, what else I haven't done? He said that now every day I live a grateful, I live my days with grateful heart. In the past, like I fly all over the world. And then I put them down. He came back from the edge of death, and the first thing that he thought about is to return to the community, to the society. So that the real happiness is to be totally engrossed in what we do. So whatever we do, even as volunteers, you know, we give them all, so we engross in it. So there's so many this moments chained together. So each moment will bring, by seizing each moment, then there will not be any regrets in our lives. So the richness of our lives is in our lives. Whether they are shiny, we don't have to live so long, but we should treasure our lives. Living in quality is better than in quantity. So the question of life, let me think about impermanence. When I propagate or spread the Buddha Dharma on behalf of Grand Master, I've gone to many places. But after getting off the plane, I would notice someone is not there, and then they said it's gone back where Mahabodhi Lotus Pond. And sometimes they're in their 70s or in their 60s. But they have great merit. because after being created, they would have sariras and sarira flowers. This is called impermanence. This few days I met a friend who's a doctor, and we were chatting, and he had a story. He's a doctor at the Harborview. He's over 70. He said that day, in preparation to invite his brothers for lunch, he thought he didn't feel very good, so he took a nap. And after getting up from the nap, felt a little fever, and so he continued to nap. And then later on, when his wife checked, he's gone, he's dead. He is a doctor, and his wife was also a doctor, is also a doctor, and his children or child is also a doctor. And also the in-law and the grandchildren or grandchild. And they couldn't detect what kind of problem, so they decided it was because of the heart in the death certificate, so I regard it as impermanence. But in practicing Dubuddha Tantric Dharma, there is one benefit. Like last week, my brother-in-law in Taiwan also passed away. He took refuge in the past, and then he did not know where the refuge certificate went. So after passing away, his children asked the pastors to prepare another refuge certificate and ask the master for blessing, and then took it back. And then in passing away, they gave the refuge certificate to him after he died. And then the next night, he gave a dream and be grateful for the refuge certificate so then he can go. So this refuge certificate is like a passport. Wherever you want to go, you need this. That's the benefit. So that was impermanence in life. Next, there's another small story. There's someone heard a group of people asking this question. If you only have 7 days left to live, how would you arrange them? The most answers are like this. If I only have 7 days to live, I would treasure my family, or I would do my work the best I can. Some people would say, only 7 days left, I would sit by the seaside appreciating the sunsets, or to do things that I did not have time to do before. Or some people say, I want to treasure, I want to put my time to good use by cultivating, etc., etc. So, when you only have a few days left to live, what we want to do to so that we have no regrets in our life. But the question is, where do you want to wait? Where do you want to wait until the last 7 days to do things, to do these things? Why don't you do them now? Things that you don't do today. Perhaps you would regret them tomorrow or the day after. We should do it immediately. 20 years ago in Taiwan, over 20 years ago, disciples Armeni who took refuge and said that I'll start to practice when I'm in my 50s or 60s. I want to play a few more years. Okay, Master was very compassionate and smiled. But now what I saw, the hairs are white. The hairs completely white, or gray, sorry. Silver. And they still said that they want to play a few more years. And there are some in Miaoli, several fellow disciples, who asked for help from grandmasters, asking for waves. And I was by their side, so I remember grandmaster said that asked them to be ordained, but till now they still don't marry, don't have wives. Their hairs are gray and their teeth are fallen. I haven't seen them for a long time and I was shocked to see them. So that's the regrets, things that you would regret when you do them, because if they became, they were ordained and cultivate, then it would be different. There's impermanence in human lives. Sometimes human lives look very ordinary, but you can turn the ordinariness into extraordinariness. If a person that cannot put anything down, then their lives. Sometimes we heard that people say, live at the moment. What does it mean? I live at the moment. So, things that you need to do now. That by living in the moment, you need to put down issues with people, things, and practice Tribhuta Tantra. So every day you practice once. By practicing one dharma practice and put it into real practice, and naturally you would gain some spiritual response. Maybe someone would say, how hard is it? I've done it all the time. But in reality, most people cannot do it. In the Zen koans, there's this dialogue. Someone asked the Zen master, as a spiritual cultivator, how should they live their daily lives? The Zen master, very calmly replied, nothing special, just eat and sleep. And so, and was very surprised, because even Zen master answered like that. So he argued, and most people also eat and sleep every day. So what's the difference between laity and cultivators? I mean, between the non-cultivators and cultivators? The Zen master laughed, shook his head and said, the cultivators eat when they're supposed to eat and sleep when they sleep. But most people, when they eat, they don't eat well. They think about this and that. When they sleep, they don't sleep well. they have a lot of afflictions appearing. So Buddha Dharma appears in the ordinary life, in sleep and eating. Our lives consist of the small things. But if you bring some greatness into it, then you're great. If you enjoy the moment happily, when you can be happy for these small things, then it is happiness. So be happy for the moment, or at the moment, and learn to live for the moment, that small things can become great, and know how to live for the moment. So no matter what you do, do it with pleasure. Talking about ceremonies, after time passed at the airport, I saw each disciple coming back, Shienge, Master and Simu. Everyone was very pleased. They all talk about the great reward for the ceremony this time. That Grandmaster is compassionate to provide consultations for everybody to help solve their problems, and also for the transmitting Hevajra and many other Dharma practices. So many disciples all over the world are waiting for three occasions: Grandmaster's birthday, and the blessing ceremony, and the Bodhu ceremony. Everyone hope, because Grandmaster and Simu are the spiritual reliance of each of the disciples. We all need, and we need to live happily. So in that period of time when Grandmaster was living in seclusion, everybody asked, when would Grandmaster get out of the retreat? I said that as long as you pray for it with earnesty, Grandmaster would be compassionate enough to get out from the seclusion. Come out from the seclusion. Them that although there is no good food to invite you when you come to Seattle, not like in Taiwan, there's so many good food, so much good food. But this year, with the blessings of Grandmaster and Buddhists and Bodhisattvas, the weather was very good. Wasn't too cold, because the Southeast Asian people are afraid of the cold. But this year, because Grandmaster was transmitting Hevajra, the great Dharma practice, so each of us very pleased and obtain the great merit of fortune when they return home. We are very grateful to Grandmaster, and for the arrangement of Simu, and for each of the masters, Dharma lecturers, Dharma teachers, Dharma educators, and fellow disciples' help. And here I would offer this gratitude, because we want to hear Grandmaster's teaching, so that's my simple few words. And thank you, each of you, for Mani Grandma. So I will represent all of us to invite Grandmaster for Dharma teaching. to the Mong Yomi to master Sakyatsen Kung to the 16th Dharma King Karmapa and master Dukten Dajie. Homage to the three jewels represented on the altar. Shimu, the presiding master, Master Lianhuo. Our masters, Dharma educators, Dharma teachers, Dharma lecturers, and our disciples, and disciples over the internet, let all be auspicious. About thanking all the volunteers and disciples. So here, all the same, I offer my gratitude to all the volunteers and those who are helping. And Nefu Nanqin also said that if you are successful in becoming a person, then you're successful in becoming a Buddha. So as a human being, we have to do the best we can in our role as a human being. This way you have the foundation to become a Buddha. Therefore you can say that when you succeed as a person, then you also succeed as a Buddha. And Master Lianhuo talked about the moment and impermanence. And at first, he mentioned about the holy bridge. The bridge between holy and holy that broke off. I also often told everyone that when you drive, you should be careful. Like when the car in front of you suddenly disappear, then you should properly brake immediately, sudden, and just step to the side or turn around. It's not only in Taiwan. It also happened in America. There are many bridges. I often follow closely to the car in front of me, and so always warn me. There's a reason why I follow closely. I want to see if the car in front of me would suddenly disappear, then I would break very hard. So I need to be careful. That's the trick of driving. There are many bridges in the world, also in America. Sometimes you feel that you're driving on the ground, but actually there's a space or empty space underneath. And Master Lianhuo also talking about that by becoming a monk that you wouldn't have gray hair. But at this point, this is the real seeing of Master Lianhuo. The foresight of Master Lianhuo, that if you have gray hairs, you just shift them off. That's why the males will not have any gray hair. That's reality. Look, a lot of people have gray hair maybe in their 50s or 60s or 70s. But for us, we never have gray hair. Because when there's traces of the gray hair, we shift them off. That's why it's better to be ordained. Master Lianhuo talked about the moment and impermanence. In reality, there's truly impermanence. So there's impermanence between prior to wedding and after wedding. In the past, I've said this joke. There's this wife that said to her husband, "If I fell to the water, will you save me right away?" And the husband thought about it for a long time. And he said, how can I be that lucky? How could that happen to me? That's too fortunate. So, human life is ever-changing. The river, Pacha River, is flooded. Young, I swam there. At that time, I was at the severe center. And I, at the Tosin Lin, and it's close to Toshi. So they're close. Toshi is close to Toshi and me. And I've swam at the Stacia River. Little did I know that it's so powerful now, because when I was young, it was great to swim there. Now it became a dangerous place, so that's important. Now let's talk about the Platform Sutra of the Sixth Patriarch. Last time we talked about the Great Master Sai Shu at the corridors of the temple. Geology, the transfiguration paintings, and the Lanka Vantara Sutra's painting. Between these two paintings, Sai Shu wrote a gatha, and composed this gatha, but that night he called Sai Shu to his room. And the fifth patriarch said, "The gatha that you wrote for general people is not bad, because it has some benefit, but has not entered into the door of enlightenment. It's still outside the gate. It's not entered the gate." The Great Master Sai Shu said, "Go back to your room and pull away from it and write another gatha. And after you complete it, submit it to me. Because the gatha that you wrote has not even reached the gate, and it still has a great distance. So, for the Great Master Sai Shu, after hearing this, carbon precursor. Your own nature or reach this perfect enlightenment, then you will be all the time. It's not that you are enlightened today and not tomorrow, or that you're enlightened the day after tomorrow and not the following day. So you would be enlightened at any moment. So today Grandmaster Lu is telling everyone, if you're truly enlightened, understanding your own mind and seeing your own nature, that you would be enlightened forever. It's definitely not the case that at any moment you see the clear sky and then immediately the clouds are covering the sky again. It will not be like that. That once it's clear forever. That this enlightenment is the ultimate, the highest and the greatest enlightenment. Once you understand, then you'll understand forever. And you will not be deluded at all. Not at any moment. So sentient beings are under delusion or enshrouded by delusion. It's very difficult to be clear, and suddenly you feel as if you're enlightened, but the next day you would think, this doesn't seem right, and that's not enlightenment, that's not enlightenment, that's a small enlightenment. This is a small understanding, a small realization. A true or complete enlightenment is a great enlightenment, and once you're enlightened, then you're enlightened forever, and you would not have any moment of delusion anymore. This is something that I want to clarify. It's not, I'm not trying to be selling something or to be exaggerating or saying something other than the truth, because this is a real truth. So the great master Zeng Xiu, after hearing the fifth patriarch words, he went back and he thought, what is it? What is this ultimate and enlightenment? So in his quarter, he wasn't very happy, of course. He wouldn't be very happy because the verse or the gatha that he wrote was regarded as a great distance from the door of enlightenment by the fifth patriarch. So great master Zeng Xiu had depression, was depressed. So he's got depression. So he was depressed. He was very unhappy and in a bad mood. I'm telling you, an enlightened person is never like that. An enlightened person would never have depression. Never. Because he's already enlightened. So when he's awarded a great prize, he's unmoved. So all the great winning is befallen upon him, he's unmoved. But if you're not enlightened, they'll go away, because people may be trying to borrow money from him. But our master one has a big winning, would say donation please. And some people would borrow money, some people is asking for donations. And they would be scared of. Better not to win any lotteries, because once you win a great lottery, then you're gone. So if you're enlightened, even if you win a great lottery, you would not be giddy, just ordinary. Or if you have a great disaster, you would not be so sad, just ordinary, normal. Whatever you encounter, it's very ordinary, very normal. Even when impermanence comes, it's still ordinary, still also a good thing to rise to the pure land. You should be happier. That's all good things. So an enlightened person is like that, but an unenlightened person, they would be, sometimes they would be very happy, sometimes they would be very sad. So at Huineng was still working his job. He did not go to the Great Hall, did not know who wrote a kata, did not know what the guru said, he did not know anything, he just did his job. Pounding the rice, cutting the firewoods for 8 months. And suddenly there's a young monk, which is a young monk under 18 who only keep a part of the ordination precepts. So he was reciting Sun Xiu's gata. And Huineng heard it. Upon hearing it, although he was illiterate, he understood. He did not know how to write, but he understood the meaning. He knew that the gata has not realized the Buddha nature, the nature, this inner nature, and is still far from the realization of the inner nature. So the master, when he said just tong tong 3 times, Huineng immediately understood. It's just like that. And then when Huineng understood that, asked the young monk to take him to the Great Hall to see this gata. And the young monk said, you're an illiterate person, still want to see a written verse, and you're a southerner, and you're illiterate, and you're a hard laborer, and you look stupid. And even the young monk looked down upon him, but he still took Huineng there. And when they got there, he asked the young monk to explain it to him, that the body is the body tree and the mind is the mirror stand. And at any moment you purify it, and not let any dust contaminate it. So the young monk recited it for Hui Neng, and at that moment there was a lady that's called Zhang Re Yong. And he's a county official and also a Buddhist follower, passed by. And then Hui Neng told this lady Zhang, "I want to compose a gatha." And this lady said, "But you don't know how to write. How can you compose a gatha? And you're a low-class person. Do you know about this gatha verse? Was created by a high monk, by a great master, and you're a lowly person. How could you want to write a gatha?" And then Hui Neng said that even a lowly person has a great wisdom, and those with great wisdom can have dull moments. But actually it's not like that. That he said, the lowly person, the high people sometimes would have the wisdom enshrouded. So Hui Neng asked the lady Zhang to write it for him, because he did not know how to write. I would recite. So the stanza, the gatha of Hui Neng is that there was no Bodhi tree nor a mirror stand, that there was primordially nothing. So how could the dust attached to anything? So this verse was the opposite of Sanshu. So this verse was extraordinary. But was it enlightenment? What, does it refer to enlightenment? No. But it's close. That according to me, it's already at the frame of the door. So many people wrote verses to Grandmaster. Realizations or your enlightenment, but I say nobody hit the target, but there are some who has reached the frame of the door, several of them. There's this analogy. In the past, there's this plate shirt that was very popular, and there's someone that they would write numbers in each of the boxes, like numbers all over the shirt. There's numbers in each of the boxes. And then someone asked, "Now it's very popular for this plate shirts, but why did you add numbers? What benefit is that?" Of course there's benefit. What is it? So when there's an area that's itchy, then you just say the number. So please scratch number 17. So scratched the itch. So that's the benefit. Of course, there's a benefit in adding numbers to them. And Grandmaster's enlightenment, just like this box. and there's a number at its center. So you've scratched the itch. See? But if you point to here, it's not itchy, that it's not itchy. But here, it turned out that's the itchy part. So you've hit the right spot. So you have to hit the right spot. So Huineng's gata is just hit the spot. So all of you would write that there was no body tree and not a mirror with the stand, that there was primordially nothing, so how could the dust attach to anything? Then Grandmaster would say, oh, everybody has reached the frames of the doors. You can't. Things that has been written by Grandmaster or other gurus or anybody, you cannot write those. But you can only write something out of your own realization. You can only write those. So then you're stepping on the frames of the door, right at the door. You're not imitating the other gurus. Then otherwise, it's easy to detect that they're all imitations. Like dialogue between different gurus, that rapport in between. You cannot talk or say what they said. You have to talk about your own insight. So this is not something guessing or. Someone in New York, and they're carrying luggages, and they put down the two luggages, and they look up to the sky, and one hand point to the clouds on the sky. Oh, that clouds are so beautiful, just like a dragon, but also like a phoenix, and just keep pointing. And there are a lot of people walking nearby. This person is looking up to the sky and one hand is pointing up and everybody is also looking up. What is he pointing at? They couldn't see it clearly. But because there are a group of people gathering, then more people would gather. Then it end up with a lot of people looking at the sky. And at this time he opened his luggage and he's selling binoculars. How much for each binocular? And everybody is buying the binoculars, looking up at the sky. Then this is called So this is like a trick. Trying to sell binoculars, so he's just pointing up at the sky, look, and everybody's gathering and looking up, and they couldn't see anything. So Grandmaster is not trying to tell you to see nothing, but there is something, and Grandmaster is not trying to play tricks on us. So Grandmaster is not playing tricks on you, and Grandmaster is not selling any binoculars. And this verse, you've arrived at the door. So in Buddhism, there's a sect or school that believe in existence, so it's existentialism. And there's also a sect or a school that believes in extinction or in non-existentialism. So one is existentialism, and the other one is about void or emptiness. And the one from Zen Shu is about existentialism, and Hui Neng is about emptiness. That everything is void or empty, primordially. So in Buddhism, in classifications, some would talk about existence, some talk about emptiness. And the essence of the Buddha's mind, that the empty nature or emptiness is right at the door, but you need to enter into the door. But you need to recognize the empty nature. And it's not playing tricks on the emptiness, but you need to enter into the empty nature, and you have to know or realize the empty nature. Then this would be the true enlightenment. You need to know about the empty nature and why it is empty by nature. So when you enlighten, you need to enlighten to the why. Why that the body has originally no tree, and the mirror is not a stand, and why they are primordially empty, and why the dust can attach to nothing. Why? What was being asked is the why. So the fifth patriarch, when he saw that there was someone writing another gatha next to Zen Shu's gatha, he saw it and said the word that it's not enlightened yet. This is not enlightenment yet. And the fifth patriarch took his sandal and wiped Hui Neng's gathas off, just like the blackboard. So he used the bottom of his sandal and wiped the verse off, get enlightenment, and wipe it off. Why did the fifth patriarch do that? Because at that time, there were many other monks, like, you know, our masters here, our Dharma teachers, Dharma educators, surround the verse and was very surprised. How could there be a verse that match Sun Xiu's verse? And it seems to make sense. So the fifth patriarch immediately wiped it off and said, it's not yet enlightenment. No seeing of the nature. Grandmaster is the same. In my own desk, there are many people submitting the verse. Some is a stray arrow. They shoot to the sky and it fell off, and it wherever it fell to. But there are a few that when Grandmaster saw it, this have arrived at the door, at the door frame. Although Grandmaster was very surprised, Grandmaster would say, oh, nothing. No big deal. It's just close. Just missing that little bit. Those who could understand was the last statement. Just missing that little bit. That was the one. Very close. Nothing. Just missing that little bit. That talking, just missing that little point. That point is that to point why that the body has no tree and the mirror has no stand. And the mirror is not a stand. And the mind is not a mirror stand. Why was there primordially empty? And why there's no dust contamination? just that one point missing. So please submit again. There are several who's arrived at the door frame. They're quite incredible, quite amazing. And I'm telling you, they're all lay practitioners. Like Reverend Lian Wan told me, no coming and no going. This is arriving at the door, but it's not your door. No coming and no going has been spoken, and also by Grandmaster. No coming and no goings and nothing matters. That was spoken by the monk Guangqing. No coming and no going, and there's nothing. That's the enlightenment of Guangqi. The verse, the enlightenment verse, said the same thing. That actually was, that belonged to Guangqing monk, not the Lian Wan monk. So you need to find something new. And Reverend Lian Wan, so I asked him, why is it no coming and no going? And he said, because they all primordially exist. But saying that they originally are there, that's mine, because I've said that before, that they're originally there. And they should be like that primordially. That's mine. It's not yours. So think about other verse. How would you say that? That they are primordially there. That's mine, it's not yours. So you need to find something that's more, it's never spoken by anyone before. Not spoken by the gurus, and not by the lineage gurus. Oh. Something that I was enlightened to. Was definitely not spoken by the lineage gurus, not by Buddha Sakyamuni, and not by any ancients statements. That's what I enlightened to. So don't talk about the past. Like the one flex stance of the pen, and the wing spreading of the crane. So find something new to say. The true face of many things are very difficult to say. Like Grandmaster, you know, an enlightened person still looks scared to injection. That needle, because it's painful. I'm most scared of it, of injections. So when I see a nurse, I would ask her, when you give an injection, would it be painful? And the nurse told me, I've done it for over 20 years, so I feel safe to let her do it. But it was so painful, and the nurse haven't finished. That I've done it for over 20 years, and not a single one that's not painful. It's because she hasn't finished talking. She said, I haven't finished. That giving injections, not even one that's not painful. That Taiwanese nurses have a certain skill. If you have, but if you're non-Taiwanese, please don't blame me. The Taiwanese nurses, they don't even see. They just take your arm and wipe it and just use the space and do this, and it would hit the blood vessel, just based on her experience. She could hear the sound of the pulse, and it would hit the target, the blood vessel, and that's rather, it's not as painful. So Taiwanese nurse has this kind of skill. You know, I have this this very delicate and soft skin and white skin. You can't see any blood vessels, even if I hold my fist, you still can't see the blood vessels, the vein or the arteries. It's not protruding. It's just, you can just see a trace of green. So this soft white flesh. My daughter Fo Qing is the same, that you can see the blood vessels very clearly. Mine too. An American's nurse, when they wanted to withdraw some blood, they couldn't find the blood vessels. And they just pushed as they like, here and there. Oh, it was so painful. Oh, yeah. Different from the Taiwanese nurse, where they can hear the pulse. And and they hit the target. So there's that small difference between American and Taiwanese nurses. I asked her how many years, and she said over 20 years. And so I felt, but she said that not even one, that's not painful after doing it for over 20 years. So today I'm telling all of you that when the fifth patriarch said that this has not reached enlightenment, and that was true. Most people who translated the Sixth Patriarch Sutra, Platform Sutra, said that the Fifth Patriarch said that it has not reached enlightenment, but actually it has reached enlightenment, but that was not right. Because if it has reached enlightenment or has seen the inner nature, then Huineng has been enlightened, and Huineng does not need to guide him and transmit the Dharma seal. Then he did not need to tell him anymore. Huineng only knew about the empty nature, but you have to enter into it and truly realize the empty nature, and not just making things up out of the emptiness. That today we have a lot of things or existence, but the existence can become about emptiness. We know that everything is unattainable, because even when you're so rich, you still have nothing to gain, because who would attain, who would gain something? It's your children. But do they actually gain something? Well, they probably gain something temporarily, but then the grandchildren would gain, but in reality, they also don't gain anything. We all just have something for a temporary moment, just like our bodies. Because when the impermanence is here, the bodies would become empty, like a house. Originally, it was new, like the Tantric Quarter and this Siatu Lechang Temple. And then afterwards become old houses, old buildings. And one day, when they're so old that they would be destroyed, then they become empty. Don't think that your car is forever, maybe for 10, 20, or 30 years, when you just bought it, and after driving it for 30 years, the old car and it's useless and garbage. And that's empty. So we all know that from existence it would become emptiness. So from this existence, how do you know why the emptiness would appear? Would you understand? Can you explain the emptiness? So when you're enlightened, like the Buddha under the Bodhi tree, when he was enlightened, he said, oh, it turned out to be this. And once he's enlightened forever, he's enlightened forever. And he became the awakened one, which is the Buddha. The meaning of the Buddha is the awakened one. So, and then if you put this enlightenment into practice, then you're a true Buddha in this human world. Then you can perform the Buddha's work and to transform and deliver sentient beings. So this is a very important point. So I hope that every one of you, when you meditate on this, you need to understand what is existence and what is emptiness. So when you mention emptiness, then you have arrived at the door. How can you know what is really the emptiness? What is emptiness really? This is what I want to ask you. But the time is up. Mani Penny.